find one thing that you have in common with each of them that's separate from them. Like theirs is different. If you have multiple kids, find multiple things. Because like my daughter and I, we really connect on music.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have Jen and Chris Armstrong. They are the owners of Solid Roots. They have a lot of cool board games. One of the ones that we're going to talk about is Mind the Gap and how this game was really a cool game that I played with my father-in-law, my wife, and my daughter. So three generations, and we're going to talk about just all the great stuff that board games and just sitting time with family and just having fun with them is very important. So Chris and Jen, thanks for taking the time. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So again, I love bringing people on who have that, you know, family mentality, and you guys do, not only through work, but through obviously your own personal lives. So before we kind of talk about Mind the Gap and Solid Roots and the different games that people can check out over at your website, and of course that is solidroots.com. We'll put links here at Art of Fatherhood. Talk a little bit about when you guys found out you're going to be a dad. And most of the times I talk to dads, right? And now having a mom on this, Jen, you go first, then Chris, you can piggyback. When you found out you're going to be a parent, what was going through your guys' minds?
This is a great story. This is a great story. So I am 3 years older than Chris is. And when we got married, we were both young, but he was very young. He was 21 and I was 24, and I was ready to have kids. Like I wanted like 5 kids today, like right now. And Chris is like, still had braces, literally still had braces. And
I mean, if I could have come with 5 kids already, she would have loved
that. I would have been like, let's do this. And so we were living in Boulder, Colorado at the time. And we were away from a family and friends and everything. And we had only been married for like 9 months. And I found out I was pregnant late one night, and I lost my dang mind. I was like Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch. Like that was the scene in my house. Like I'm like jumping up and down, like I'm going to be a mom. You know, we're having a baby. We're having a baby. And Chris's face was like just the most priceless, like the quintessential deer in the headlights, you know, like. He's 21. His life took about 5 seconds to flash before his eyes. And he was not jumping on the couch, but
imagine what every guy was doing when they saw Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch, like kind of mortified, right? Like, what is this guy doing? That was me.
Yeah, so
so this podcast has gotten off to a great start for fathers.
No, but Chris, this is where I think it comes in. You guys are, you know, being 100% honest in this, and it is a great story. Like, but also too, Chris, like there are so many. I mean, I forgot what movie it was. I think it was Ashton Kutcher when he, I think it was like Just Married or something, where they're talking about, didn't you, like I think it was Brittany Murphy, was like, didn't you remember you're like thinking about when you were a kid, like what was it gonna be like to be married? And he's like, huh? And it goes back to like him playing like lightsabers with like, you know, friends on a playground. He's like, that's what I pretty much thought of, right? I think it's just our society and our generations where you're growing up. It's like guys think about sports and all stuff. And there are guys who think about being a dad at a young age. But if I was in college, I went for radio and broadcasting and television. If you told me that I'm going to be running a site about father, I'd be like, what the heck is your problem? Like, that's never going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So, Chris, I think a lot of dads can kind of relate and be like, all right, what now, right?
Yeah. And I am super almost pragmatic and almost too logical. And so what happened was
start getting out the checkbook, start like planning for college, all this stuff, right?
Well, not even that. Like she tells me and she's like having a wonderful moment. And I'm just like, and I was working from home at the time on a side gig that we were doing together for a church. And I was like, well, I got to go back to work. And like, I went back in the other room because like there was nothing for me to do at that moment.
Yeah.
I should have been, you know, more comforting and in the moment with my wife, but like I was on to my next thing.
I will say, you know, Grant, he's a 21-year-old kid with braces, literally. And, you know, it was a big deal. And I had been, you know, I had been dreaming of being a mother my entire life. So for me, this was like, you know, the culmination of, you know, all of my dreams coming true. But if you fast forward to, you know, 9 months after that, when we had her, he was the most amazing dad instantly. I mean, it came so natural, and he was in love right away. And I think everything sort of melted away, you know, all of the fears and whatever. And yeah, he's been an incredible dad.
Nice.
Love and that. I don't know, like, you know, I don't know if any guy is like super ready to be a dad. But it, like she said, it did like fall away. And the part of it is like, I don't think you're ready to be a dad, but once you are, it's almost like you just like things kick in you and you just start taking care of things. And that's what it was. And, you know, our first one had jaundice for the first, couple of weeks. And that was tough to let her sit under those lights, you know, just kind of by herself. Obviously we were there watching her, but you know, you couldn't hold her and you couldn't, you know, snuggle her kind of thing. So, I got very protective very early.
Very quickly, very quickly.
It's funny too, because when it's just you or, you know, you and a spouse or a partner, whatever the case may be, one of them gets hurt, it's like, all right, we'll get through this. But then you see like your child, like you said, under the lights, and it's like, you can't do anything. And you just want to like, there are moments that parents, you know, experience that, and you're just like, you know, because you want to be there, you want to do whatever you possibly can, even though you can't do anything, you're like stressed out, like, what can I do, right? So appreciate that insight, and especially with you guys starting up Solid Roots and the different games, creativity, it shows, okay? Creativity that you guys both have, and, you know, you guys have a great team, so you guys collaborate on how to create these great games, but the vision you guys have and starting your own business, talk about like, you know, the initiative and drive. That's awesome. So certain core values, I think I'm already going to presume that you guys are going to look to instill into your kids, but Chris, you go first, then Jen, you can follow up. Talk about something that like, talk about the core values that you guys are looking to instill into them as they're growing up.
Yeah. So a big one, like you said, is creativity. And Jen and I, we honestly believe that everyone is creative at something, even though I said like, I'm super logical and logistical, like I can be creative in those things. And so that is something that we want to get into them, and they get a front row seat to watch us do those things. Another one I want is like grit. Like the thing is, life is hard and things are hard, and able to persevere through them and work your way through them is something that will obviously help you through any situation in life.
No doubt. And just quickly, it's tough because you see them struggle at things. You want to help them, but you're like, I got to let them suffer for, like, not suffer, but like, I need them to like stress out about what they're going through. Cause you can't like solve all their problems, right?
Yeah. They have to struggle a little bit in their, whatever they're doing. Right. Yeah. No doubt, it helps them grow.
What about you, Jim?
Well, Chris is better at letting them struggle than I am. I wait for Chris to leave the room, and I'm like, here's your lunch, baby. Like,
Jen's a sucker.
Everything's okay. I'll take care of it. Part of what's going to be important for their generation and what we want to instill in them is how to be productive adults. Like, you've got to have a skill and you've got to be able to produce in order to make it in tomorrow's society, because, you know, a lot of, you know, technology is going to take the place of a lot of things. So you have to think to yourself, how can I add value to my community, and know how to produce something of value, a service, a product, you know, something that nobody else can do. And so we really encourage our kids to, you know, not just have ideas, but to execute on their ideas and, you know, learn the process of that, so that, you know, when they get older, they'll know how to create something, not just how to have ideas. We want them to be creative. We want them to have ideas, but we want them to know how to execute on those ideas. So that's, you know, definitely something that's important to us.
Creativity, grit, and actually follow through, you know, your initialized, you know, concept of stuff and like actually making it happen. Right. So
right.
Those are certain things that I feel like schools are, I love teachers, love, you know, the schools that our kids go to, but like there's certain things that we got to realize that we got to teach. Like one teacher and I were having a conversation about checkbooks and this or that, not that like people use checkbooks anymore. I still do. But anyways, like the idea of like, you know, debiting and credit and all that money. And they're like, that should actually go through you. It's not all in the teachers. I'm like, yeah, that's right. So what you guys said right there is, I think is fantastic. Let's kind of flip the script. Jen, you can go first and then Chris, you can follow up. We always feel like we have the answers. Or like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, my mom and dad know everything, right? Then you become a parent, like, they're probably winging it just like I am right now. But
they were totally winging it.
Kids think that we have all the answers. We don't. But what is something that your kids have taught you either about yourselves or about life in general that you like to share with me?
Ooh, that is, wow. My kids have made me feel very unconditionally loved in a way that I don't think I ever could feel from anyone but them. Like, you know, I am very ambitious. I am very achievement oriented. I like challenges. I like to accomplish things and build things. And at the end of the day, they just love me because I'm their mom. There's no reason. It's not based on anything that I'm doing or saying or building or achieving or anything like that. I'm their mom. And that has grounded me in a way that it's an anchoring kind of love. And it does settle me. And I think sometimes they, you know, I know I'm their mom. I'm there to soothe them and make them feel better, but they soothe me and make me feel better at the same time. And I don't think I could have, you know, settled into that kind of love in any other way or with any other people. Like the way my kids love me is just so pure.
Love it. What about you, Chris?
We could go on a couple of tangents here because nice. Our daughter is pretty headstrong and she challenges me almost every day on a lot of things. But I'm going to say that they have taught me to slow down and like wonder is a good thing in life. You know, as guys, we typically like try and be the most efficient and like get from point A to point B the fastest we possibly can in the shortest amount of time. And I don't need to ask for directions kind of thing. But they constantly are like, you know, I'm doing this thing and here's what I'm doing. And I just want to be like, well, you could do it better if you did this, you know, if you didn't do this. But if you just let them do their thing, they're like, why? And then it's like, well, because then I got to do this other thing. You know, they got to have some other experience that I wouldn't have got to if I took the shortest path. And, you know, I would have missed out on a lot of things. But they kind of, in my head, they take a roundabout way to get there. But their experience in getting there is more wondrous. And they seem to enjoy life more than being the hyper-efficient, you know, robot that the guys tend to be. So again, she challenges me in a lot of ways, but that is something that I try and take from them every day.
Chris, you're preaching to the choir here, man. Like, I am just like, I'm very routine. I'm very robotic with certain things throughout the week. And like, yeah, the sense of wonder and the sense of like, let's just look at something from a different angle, or, you know, stop and smell the roses. You know, there are certain reasons why cliches are there, because they're true. Like a baby changes everything. You guys' responses before to the other questions are legit. And just right there, it's like, stop and smell the roses. That's there for a reason, right? Like Ernie Johnson from TNT, he says like BlackBerry moments. And he was like, him and his kid, when he was a kid, he'd like, during major league or their baseball team, they like eat blackberries in the outfield, and the coach is like, stop, you know, pay attention to the game. And it's like, these kids, like, I'm good. I just want to eat blackberries off the, you know, the field, and I'm good. So I think that is really true. And one more question before we start getting into Solid Roots and Mind the Gap. Chris, you go first, and then Jen, you can follow up. Parenting hack or a piece of advice for new parents? Like, for me, like, parenting hack when I was, you know, when my kids were in diapers and they were toddlers is refill the diaper bag once you get home from an event, because you think, like, you put the bag away and it's like, oh, we're going to the mall again. And then, like, you realize you don't have any diapers. Nowadays, my daughters are 13 and 11, and it's like, people are like, oh, teenage daughters and all this other stuff. And I'm like, communication is key. As long as you have built that communication throughout their lives and take interest in what they're into, they will respect you. Like you said, like, they're the anchor, unconditional love. You show that back to them, and you'll get it like a millionfold. So those are like the different parenting hacks or devices. So for you, Chris, you can go first, and Jen, you can follow up. Parenting hack or, you know, piece of advice to new parents, what would it be?
I hope you say the one that I think you're going
to
say.
I'm not going to. I'll say mine, then you can tell me what mine should have been.
Okay, I'll tell you what yours should be.
Okay. Because you're probably expecting a hack out of me.
Yeah.
But
we have a good one.
But it's hard for me to relate to when our kids were younger now, because they're, you know, they're 16 and 13.
Yeah.
And so my parenting advice is to find one thing that you have in common with each of them that's separate from them. Like, theirs is different. If you have multiple kids, find multiple things. Because like my daughter and I, we really connect on music. And so we'll send songs back and forth over text. And that's just something that she and I have in common that Jen and her don't have in common.
Right.
And so with my son, it's video games. He's super into video games. And I'm not really into them, but I can pretend to be into them. Like, that's super easy for me.
Yeah.
Because like I'm terrible at them, but I see the value in them and I see what he gets out of them. And so that's how we connect. And he's, you know, he has gotten into sports lately through video games like NBA 2K. And now he's asking about actual NBA players. And
nice.
I get to relive the Chicago Bulls dynasty and, you know, Magic versus Bird and all this stuff that I had growing up. So it's great. And, you know, we can sit there and we talk about that for, he's starting to come down and watch sports games with me, which is
nice. Great,
because that's not something he's super into. All
right,
tell me
what piece of advice right there. Okay, now I'm really excited for this hack.
No, this I have three short hacks that parents are going to absolutely love me for. Okay, first hack, when your kids are little, we learned this from Dave Barry. The answer to when are we doing whatever is Tuesday, because your kids have no concept of time. They're like, when is dinner? Tuesday. Okay. And they just take it. They just like listen to you. It's like, when are we going to the park? Tuesday. When is Christmas? Tuesday. Like, everything is just, you just answer them Tuesday and it works. I swear to you, it works. Like, they get this kind of confused look on their face and then just walk away accepting that.
That's awesome.
They literally, you're 2 years old. You don't know the difference between 5 minutes and 5 years. So you can literally say anything to that answer and they will accept it.
And
so,
I don't know if it like is good or bad, but that worked for a long time.
It worked for a long time for our kids. It was brilliant. I'm telling you, credit goes to Dave Barry on that one. That is a phenomenal hack. Hack number two, I'm a super picky eater. Like, I'm like a child. I am like a child of a child of a child. I'm like the worst picky eater ever. And I learned early on that me being disgusted at what my kids ate made them want to eat it. So I was like, do not eat those green beans. Like, that is disgusting. Boom, pick up the green bean, put it in their mouth. You are not going to eat that sushi. That is raw fish. That is, I'm like gagging sushi in the mouth. My kids will eat anything just because I think it's gross. So all you have to do is pretend to not like the food and tell them not to eat it, and they will eat it.
Oh, and that works. It works way better, because I have wanted to take my kids out for sushi because I'm not a picky eater.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't you dare eat sushi.
And they
eat it.
100% react way better to her being disgusted by it than to like my love for something.
Hack number three, final hack. teach them to do their laundry very early on and refuse to do it for them. Like, every person in our house is responsible for their own laundry. I only do mine. Chris only does his. Trinity only does hers. And Jack only does his. And if you don't have clean clothes, it's because you didn't do your laundry. So, you know, that has saved me years of time. Years. I don't do their laundry. Like, they do, they know how to do their own laundry and they can do it and they're fine. Like, they're over it. They're fine. And they, you know, somehow have clean clothes and I don't feel bad about it at all.
No,
where were you guys? Where were you guys like 10 years earlier? Because here's the thing, the Tuesday thing is fantastic. The don't eat that, you know, and that's disgusting. The kids will love it. The last one gets me in my soul because I'm the one that does
I'm telling you. It will change your life. It will change your life. Teach your kids how to do their laundry and refuse to do it. And it will change your life. It will change your laundry room because they're not allowed to bring their laundry down unless they do it. So the laundry room's always clean. It's magic. I'm telling you, it's magic.
You guys just changed my life because there are certain times where for both of them, they leave their socks. Like, after they get home from school, they take their socks off and they roll into the ball and they put the socks, and I should have known this, like, they put the socks together and you're not cleaning one of them. Well, technically you maybe are, but they're all like, they're bunched together. And mm-hmm. for some reason they cannot put their pants back inside out again. It's like always outside. So I'm always like, I'm like, and like my wife's like, cause we both work from home and she's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just doing the girls' laundry. So I should have had this conversation with you.
It's not your problem anymore. It's not your problem. It's their problem. Put the laundry, like, get it out of your life. That's my advice.
I will say, make sure before, like, big road trips or, you know, Christmas, if you go to the parents for Christmas or something, ask them a couple of days, do you have clean clothes?
That's true.
Because the answer is going to be no.
No.
But they'll do it.
They'll have the opportunity to do it instead of, hey, you need to pack today because we're leaving in an hour. Oh, I don't have clean clothes. You know. So,
I mean, we got a pandemic to worry about. We don't need to be doing our kids' laundry. Come on.
Quote of the year right there. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Yeah. So critical thinking, thinking outside the box, making sure that, you know, these hacks alone, like, follow-up question, when's your, you know, parenting book coming out? Because that hack alone, like the washing thing, like, yeah, you guys need to start writing a book. But let's go on solid roots. Just talking to you guys. And, you know, before we kind of started, before I kind of reached out to you guys and all the good stuff, like, I see, like, you know, with all the different games, like, there is creativity, intelligence, all that stuff. But, like, what was the inspiration to create Solid Roots?
My family is insane. There's like 35 crazy Italian people that are related. My extended family. And I don't know if we actually like each other or we're just all so insanely competitive that we're the only people that'll play games with each other. But we play games like it's our job and we excel in beating each other at game. Like, this is what we do to connect with each other. We just, you know, beat the crap out of each other at Shanghai Rummy or something. So games has always been a big part of our lives. It's how we connect. It's how we have, you know, fun. It's how we make memories. We didn't set out to own a game company. I was actually producing and Chris was a graphic designer. And because we play games so much with our family, you know, it sparked this idea for a game. And we thought, I wonder if we could do that. Like, someone's going to do that. So, you know, could it be us? And so as, you know, we started down the path of figuring out how you would prototype an idea and how you would get it manufactured and turn it into a physical product. And once that was hard, that was difficult. And it took us about a year to figure that all out. But once it was done, we thought, well, now we know the process. We have all of these great game ideas because this is what our family does. And we kind of have the skills to, you know, I can create an experience and Chris can make it look good. So we accidentally became a game company. Like, you know, we had one idea that sparked the whole thing. And, you know, by God's grace, it worked out and took off, and it enabled us to say, okay, there's more where that came from. Let's try something else. And we just kept doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for that, because Mind the Gap, there are certain games you have fun, you know, whether it's video games, board games, whatever the case may be. I think nowadays certain games, like when a board game comes out, it's like the game, it's like the, before the game begins, there's the game of like, wait, how do you play this game? Like, mm-hmm. there's like, it's like the instructions. It's like, I don't know. I think we're doing this right. And then you're like, are we doing this right? And like, that takes away from the fun. Right. But Mind the Gap, we played this last Thanksgiving. My father-in-law was here. Who I get along with great. And we talk a lot about a different bunch of wide topics. You know, my wife and I have been together for 22 years now. So it's like, I know him in and out, but like having three generations, my father-in-law, my wife and myself, and then my daughters, we're playing this game, Mind the Gap. And obviously it just talks about the different, you know, pop culture and all that good stuff throughout the different generations. But besides having fun at the game, it was really easy to pick up. Like, you know, the graphics, obviously, you know, to you, Chris, like designing and all that stuff. I love it. And just like the, you know, the artistry behind that. But there is something that happens when you play this game where maybe you play a game, a board game for like 20 minutes and everybody's looking at the time. We're like, let's get something to eat. We played this game for a few hours. Right. And we started stopping the game because we were talking about certain other things that my father-in-law didn't know about my daughter's generation and vice versa. And we had these talks. And even after we were done with the game, my daughters were showing my father-in-law Taylor Swift music because there was a Taylor Swift question. And then they were showing her like the country phase and then like the pop culture phase and all the other stuff. And he's like, well, this kind of sounds like Stevie Nicks. I'm like, who's Stevie Nicks? So your game transformed our entire Saturday to learning more about generations that maybe things that wouldn't have popped up. Because like, all right, we'll go for a walk or maybe we'll watch a movie, whatever the case may be. But this board game, one, we had entertainment from the game because like we had some laughs, we had a bunch of stuff. But then also two, it sparked these conversations that might not have taken place without playing this game. So I love this game and my family loved this game. How did Mind the Gap come to be?
I really appreciate you saying all those things. And that's, you know, that's magic, because that's what we wanted that to happen. That's what we intended to happen. And the game, you know, very simply, it actually came from, you know, when OK Boomer started to be a thing, you know, and the boomers are calling the millennials snowflakes and Gen Z is just like freaks everybody out. And nobody talks about Gen X. They're like the latch kid keys, that like the middle child of generations that, you know, gets no love whatsoever. And it's like, there's all this tension and all of these assumptions about what it means to be a boomer, what it means to be, you know, a millennial. And I even heard someone say, you know, I am a millennial, but I don't really like, I don't want to associate myself with being one. And I thought, you know, why do we feel that way? Like, I'm a Gen X and I identify as a millennial. I love millennials. I think they're amazing. But there's, you know, I love my grandparents and they had such rich lives and so much wisdom. And I thought, you know, we should be celebrating the best of every generation. And instead of, you know, pigeonholing them into like their worst qualities or traits, you know, what is the best thing about being a boomer? What is the best thing about Gen X? Like, what makes them so great? Millennials should be celebrated. Like, you know, they're really brilliant in the way they approach living their lives. And Gen Z, like, they have a compassion and a genuine
empathy
for each other that every other generation could learn from. And so we thought, what if we create a game where we not only celebrate the best that every generation had to offer, but we encourage them to collaborate in order to win the game. Like, you need your grand. You can't win this game without your grandma, because you don't know, you know, who, you know, was that who were the neighbors of Lucy and Ricky Ricardo? Like, what were their neighbors' names? You know, my kids aren't going to know that. You know, they need someone else to answer that for them. But I couldn't tell you, if my life depended on it, who the first YouTube star was to get, you know, a million follows or, you know, things like that. So you have to collaborate to get around the board. And in doing so, you learn such fun things. And people's, you know, when you're in your generation, like those people, their eyes light up. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, I totally remember New Coke. Like, what a scam. What a scam, you know? And then the younger kids are like, what's New Coke? And you're like, oh my gosh, it was like, you know, a nightmare or whatever. And it's fun to remember these things, and it's fun to be with each other and to share your core memories with your family. And
And I don't know if it's like kind of a natural thing. Like, her family is insane and competitive.
Yeah.
But they genuinely like being together.
Right.
Like, they rarely have major disagreements. Like, it's always a laugh when they get together. And so I can't remember a time that we haven't been thinking about, like, how do we bring people closer together? Like, whether it's politically or ideologically or, you know, just even physically, like, how do we get people closer together? In fact, one of our taglines for Solid Roots is be together, have fun. And so that has really driven us to create experiences like this. And honestly, Art, like, you're not the first one to tell us, like, we sat down and we opened up Mind the Gap and we didn't even play the game. We just, like, went through the questions and, like, started, like, how do you not know about New Kids on the Block? Yeah. And how do you not know about Backstreet Boys and, you know, all of this stuff? And so, like, those are the stories that we love to hear. Those are the emails that we love to get, because that was the intention behind it. And, you know, you can play the game. If you want to talk about the game, you can play the game with just a couple of generations, and you just take the other generations out, but it's not nearly as engaging. It's not nearly as fulfilling as it is if you're playing with a small group. It is meant to be played in a large group, but it just, how can we force people to work together without actually, well, without, like, telling them,
you know,
that they have to work together?
Don't work together and don't eat your green beans. There you go.
PSA, though, for anyone watching or listening to this, it's like, it's dumb to be so down on other generations. It's just dumb. It's like, you know, everyone's going to do things a little bit differently. Like, your way was new to someone else, and they thought, like, why would you, you know, live your life like that or do things that way? And then you get older and you think the same thing about the younger generation, you know, like, oh, like, why are they doing that? Or their music, or, you know, we want the country would be so much better if we all respected the people that were older than us, you know, wanted to glean wisdom for them. And if we championed those that were younger than us, and we wanted the best, we wanted them to succeed and showed that we could learn from them as well. Like, the world would just flat out be a better place. So we are not for attention in the generations. We just, can we all just get along?
I mean, Taylor stands on Stevie Nicks's shoulders, but yep. You know, Stevie should be proud of Taylor, that, like, Taylor has picked up the baton and continued to run with it, right?
Yeah.
And, like, your father-in-law should be proud that his girls are listening to somebody that is as empowering as Taylor, who was empowered by Stevie, you know? Yeah. So it's not like, oh, Stevie's better than Taylor kind of thing. You know, it's not about that. It's like, wow. Like, somebody, Stevie had an impression on somebody. Like, my generation has impressed upon the next one. And yeah. I am proud to have been a part of that. And I'm proud of where they're going to take it.
Yeah. No doubt. Like, for me, like, my youngest, she loves Stevie Wonder. And I tell her the story. Like, when I was working at a grocery store over the thing, I'm like, wait, are they playing Tupac in this? Like, no. And so I quickly go to, like, the back, like, room where there was a clear speaker. I'm like, oh, it's Stevie Wonder. And I say to them, I'm like, if it wasn't for Stevie Wonder, and we all like Stevie Wonder, but I was like, half the hip hop and R&B today that we listen to wouldn't never exist because they sample certain things. And I love what you guys said right there, where it's like, be a champion for each other, you know, generation. I think, yeah, especially with social media, now that, you know, all generations are on there, like snowflakes and boomers and all this other stuff, you don't really see where the person's coming from. 240 characters, a 2-minute video, it's like, oh, that person's evil, that person's dangerous, or that person is angry, whatever the case may be. But when you actually have a good conversation, you start like coming from a place of like love and be like, oh, that's why you kind of act the way you do, because this is your mindset. Oh, okay, cool. And you start doing that. So I love that. So I asked you guys earlier about when you guys are gonna write a book on parenting. From everything you guys are talking about, when are you guys gonna start running for president and vice president? Like, seriously, like what you said right there is like, let's just be more caring. Let's just be more, you know, sympathetic, empathetic, instead of like just trying to like throw daggers. And we need that mindset, I think, now more than ever. Like with the pandemic, with everything that's been going on these past four, whatever years, you're just like, what has happened? But like, you take away all the noise from like media and all this other stuff, and it's like, if your neighbor sees you like needing help, they will help you. So it's not all doom and gloom, but we need to accentuate more of the positive stuff. And I think Mind the Gap does that. Talk a little bit about like some of the other games, because guys aren't just, you know, a one trick pony. You guys have a bunch of different games out there. Talk a little bit about some of the games that my audience, you think, would be down, you know, to play and check out.
Yeah, so our number two game that we're excited about is called Fright. And it is really interesting because it's got an interesting mechanic to it, in that when you die, you're not actually out of the game. Like, you still get to participate. So back to like the inclusivity and making sure that everyone feels involved. You roll the dice, you do like end up scaring your friends and family to death, which can be maybe cathartic in a couple of ways, right? But as you get scared, you gain cards, and those cards can help you manipulate the dice or do other certain actions. They're kind of like superpowers. And so once you're out of the game, you can't roll your dice anymore, but you can still play your cards. Mm. And so you can come back and you can be vengeful on somebody, or, you know, affect the game in a way that you want it to come.
It's a really fun take on, you know, it's not like gruesome horror. It's like funny horror. Like, the through line of all of our games is humor. Like, we just want to make people laugh. And this game can be hilarious because, like Chris said, like, once you lose all your lives, you become a ghost, and you can't necessarily win the game, but you can make other people lose the game. And what is more fun, like, it is almost more fun to make someone lose than it is to win, I personally think. But that is, you know, the
competitive side of you and your family, right?
Competitive side of me speaking. But like, how fun is that, that you can, you know, you might want to be careful who you scare to death, because that person can come back and haunt you. And so that game is just like really fun, really well designed. It's got some incredible play patterns in it. We have a really great game called Manic Minute, where you have to do kind of what we've been doing here, just like, you know, talk about a topic for 1 minute without hesitating or saying and it is harder than you think. And the amount of pressure that gets put on you, like while you're talking through these topics, it causes people to go off on hilarious tangents. And it is just, it's so fun. So we love Manic Minute. And
just, right there, sorry to cut you off. Like, that is a great, again, when you can combine education and learning, but also fun and, you know, competition is great. Okay. Because when you said that about like not using or like, I still use that when I'm editing my podcast. I'm like, I said like again, or, you know, and my oldest, she'll say like, and I'm like, ah, she's rubbing, like, I'm rubbing off on her. This is not good. But what a great life skill, you know, because everyone says, like, you know, nowadays, like, have your elevator pitch ready for this or that, or whatever the case may be. But kids today, I think, are getting more comfortable like doing stuff, whether, you know, if they have a YouTube channel or they see other people, it's like, all right. But having fun, but also telling them, all right, don't use these crutch words. Go ahead and talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great life skill.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun.
It is fun.
It is really fun. I will say, I'll just two more games, because as a Fatherhood podcast. These two games are fantastic. But we, the Berenstain Bears approached us last year, and they were like, you know, we would love for a family game company to create a line of games for us. And so we were super honored by that. And we took inspiration from two of the Berenstain Bear books. One, when the brother and sister bear were being super messy, and one where they weren't minding their manners. And we gamified two of the biggest problems parents have today: cleaning your room and going out to eat. So the first game is called the Extremely Messy Room Challenge. And the kid, there's a deck of cards, and the kid draws a card, and it's when their room is messy. And the card says, hop on one foot and pick up three things with your left hand. Pick up everything that's red, but don't touch anything that's blue. You know, pick up anything that has wheels. You know, it guides you through cleaning your room, and in a really funny and fun way. So we gamified cleaning your room. You're welcome. It's called the Extremely Messy Room Thank Challenge. You.
Which maybe that should also belong in the hat, because Jen created that when
my kids were little. Problems. They're like, I don't know what to pick up. I'm like, go pick up white stuff. Anything that's white, go pick it up right now. But you better not touch anything that's, you know, blue. And they'd be like, okay, you know, nice. I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. So anyway, so Extremely Messy Room Challenge. And then the other one is called Manners Mania, the Restaurant Challenge. And you throw this deck of cards in your bag when you're heading out to the restaurant with your kids. And when they sit down at the table, they each get the cards in their hand, and they all have different point values. And you have to accomplish these challenges while you're out to eat. So if you say thank you to the waiter, you get 5 points. Oh, if you order your own food, you get 10 points. If you stay in your seat, you get 2 points. If you don't knock over anybody's drink, you get 6 points. You know, if you ask somebody a thoughtful question, you get 8 points. You know, it's just all the things that you want your kid to do desperately when you're sitting down eating at a restaurant. They get points for all these things. And as they earn the points on their card, once they get to a certain point value, they get a cool sticker, really awesome sticker. So they're busy, they're playing a game, they're minding their manners, they're learning, you know, these like social skills, and they get a cool sticker.
Nice. I love, and that's something where it's like, it's not like, you know, for kids who could kind of like know already how to test the system. Like one of my first articles about fatherhood is like how kids are like velociraptors. They'll test the weaknesses in the system, right? And they'll find it, right? So for you guys, having the idea of having things like, all right, the whole dinner, don't spill anybody else's drink. Cause you'd be like, all right, be nice. Say a good question. Oh, waitress, may I order my own food, like blah, 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 like chicken nuggets, and you have a great sweater on today. All right, I'm done. Now I can just do whatever I want. And one of my pet peeves, and again, this will probably sound judgmental, and I'm sorry if it does, but the idea of when you go out to a restaurant and you just like hand your kid a tablet and be like, all right, cool. It's like, why did I spend all that money for this dinner? We're not like hanging out. But like you gamify that experience, and like, all right, no one needs a tablet. No one needs a phone. No one needs to watch right. a video. I applaud you immensely for that. So job well done.
we just know the pain. We know what it's like to go out to eat with kids that don't have anything else to do except throw pickles on the ground. And you know, that's not the space you want to be in. So, you know, we're like, how can we help?
Love it. Thank you guys. This is great. We're going to finish off with the Parenthood quick five. Jen, you can go first, and then Chris, you can answer right after. And it could be the same for the first few. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
Christmas Vacation.
Princess Bride.
Great. On both accounts. Favorite family song, or is there an artist you guys couldn't wait to introduce your kids? And maybe this is more for Chris, because you know you have that you bond with your daughter about music. But favorite family song right now, or was there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
It's not our favorite family song right now, but The Rhythm Is Gonna Get Ya. It's we used to like as a family like turn that song on yes. and be like, the first person to start dancing is the loser. So the congas would start playing and Jack's like, the rhythm is getting me. It's getting me. And so we had a lot of fun with that song. Once upon a time.
Sounds like a new game is brewing too, by the way.
Yeah. Don't let the rhythm get you. See how long you can hold out.
That's actually a good one. I would probably say anything hip hop ish from the 90s, 2000s.
Oh man.
Like that's just something you can kind of groove to.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, yeah, it's funny too, because now like we're watching, my youngest loves football like me, and we're watching stuff and they're, you know, promoting the halftime show with Dr. Dre and like all the music, and I'm bobbing my head, and my wife's like, see kids, like this is, you know, this is dad's music right here. And then like they're like, really? I'm like, yep, it's going to, like, I have a clean versions of songs. I'm like, yep, still DRE right here. And they're like, oh, okay. So I love that.
Have you seen the memes where it's like, you know, kids from the 90s when they're in nursing homes someday, like, can you play me some music from back in the day? And it's like, keep the head ringing. <You know, it's> like, like playing like, you know, comforting music in the background, and it's, you know, regulators,
right? Yeah.
And we're just in our knitted blankets, like listening to Regulators someday.
What if Tupac's like just like beef songs or whatever the case may be was Hit 'Em Up? Like now I just like, if I'm in a retired home, like, could you play Hit 'Em Up? And like all like people are just like,
it comes on in the elevator and we're like, oh, back in my day.
One of the best diss musics ever. Pac was going against Biggie on this one. He even said, no, it's for another day. Awesome. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Disney World.
Mm.
Nice. Yeah.
Disney World or the beach.
Okay, yeah. Favorite rides for you guys on Disney? Because we just got back. I know you guys, we actually had a meeting. We guys were at Disney.
We were at Epcot.
We were just at Disney this past week. My oldest loved Haunted Mansion, and then my youngest wanted to go on the Aladdin carpet rides over and again and again and again. It was crazy. The one ride I wanted to go on to that had never gone was the Rise of Resistance. Guess what? It was closed. We were there.
Oh, man. It's epic. It really is epic. I mean, the storytelling on that is insane. Favorite ride though is Soarin'. Like I'm so mad at myself for not inventing that ride. I want one in my bedroom. Like I love that freaking ride so much.
Not only like the experience, but like the smells, like when you're like smell the grass. Everything I'm like, oh,
about the epic music that just like makes just the booming sound of the Niagara Falls. I'm just like, I freaking love that ride.
Nice.
So mine's going to sound super lame, but I think my favorite ride is Spaceship Earth, because as you've gone to every park over the course of several days, Spaceship Earth is the perfect one to sit and relax and like have a little downtime, and it's dark. And
who doesn't want Dame Judi Dench to like, right? Narrate history for them?
Right?
Yeah.
But to piggyback onto that, one of our favorite things to do at Disney is to look for hidden Mickeys, and there are several in Spaceship Earth. Nice. So it's always fun to point them out to the kids, and like, I love when they start, oh yeah, it's right there, kind of thing.
We're such dorks.
Yeah,
My wife loves Spaceship Earth. Question, just because I'm very curious about this. When we were there last week, it was all about the Figment popcorn buckets. People were in like lines for like 7 hours, and they were flipping them on eBay for like, you know, it's $25 to buy it there. You can only buy two, but I saw one dude like carry six on his shoulder. I'm like, oh, he must have brought his kids in or his family. Like, oh, we all want to buy one. Like, yeah. The Figment thing was like at Epcot. There was like a long line. I even said to the woman, like, what's this for? And she goes, popcorn buckets. I'm like, no, seriously, what's this line for? And she goes, no, popcorn buckets. I was like,
so
okay.
There's like, you know, like buckets, like levels of Disney dorkdom. And yeah. we are not that. We don't do popcorn buckets. We don't trade pins.
Okay.
I'm not, this is no offense to people that,
yeah,
like the popcorn buckets and the pins. I'm just saying, but like they're aware of their Disney dorkness status. Like they know. And we're like we're the level that like we spend a crap ton of money to go once a year and like find hidden Mickeys. Like that's our level.
That's just, all right, cool.
So,
and we appreciate the details that they have, that Disney has put into their parks.
Yeah.
And we think a lot of maybe people don't realize that, but like Walt is a huge influence to both of us. And
yeah,
so we appreciate it for the history and the detail
storytelling.
And the storytelling, the yeah, user experience of it all, because that it goes into making games as well.
Anyone that can make a grown man stand in front of a fake castle and cry when he sees a mouse, I just have mad respect for. I'm like, I want to create something someday that inspires a grown man to dress up like a wizard. Like, how do you do that? What level of genius is that? And that's what I'm aspiring to in life.
There you go.
Like, I just want to create something that makes grown people cry and dress up like fake things.
Love it. Favorite board game when you were a kid was?
Ooh.
Monopoly.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go with Battleship.
Oh, nice. Good answers right there. Love it. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a parent, what would they be?
Top three words. Holy cow. Yeah, that's good.
Understanding and freaking awesome.
Nice. Love it.
The three words I use to describe myself are mean old man.
And I think they could get behind that.
And they totally would get behind that. I probably like creative problem solver.
Nice.
Like dad can fix anything, right?
Love it. Yeah, he's the MacGyver of dads. I love it. That's
right. He is.
Cool. People, make sure you go to solidroots.com. Check out all their great games, including Mind the Gap. All these games are great, especially the one that you take to a restaurant. Gold. These people know what's up. Support them because they have great games. And seriously, play Mind the Gap with a bunch of generations in your family, and not only will you have fun playing the game, but the conversations that will come from that are just amazing. But again, I appreciate you supporting my show and my, you know, my fatherhood website and all this good stuff. But I encourage people to, you know, show the love for you guys and make sure they go to and pick up a bunch of these games. But I wish you and your family continued success. And again, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think the world would be better with dads like us, right? No doubt, man. More dads like us, more dads like you. World would be a little better place.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.